Prepare Your Burial Shroud, It's Either You or Your Country, a Sudanese twist on Live Free or Die that protesters were chanting on the streets of Sudan's capital, Khartoum, today, just days after the government fired on demonstrators, killing six people. Hours later, though, some positive news. Sudanese leaders announced an agreement with the opposition for a three-year transition period to civilian rule. Still, government militia attacked the demonstrators again today.
Right now, as we speak, we're hearing live ammunition shot and people being assaulted in the streets.
That's Tigrid Abdin in Khartoum. She's an architect and mother of three who has lived in the city for decades. And she's been marching in the demonstrations since they began in December.
Today, Khartoum is very chaotic, to say the least. Residents have set up roadblocks inside neighborhoods and on the main streets. So it's a sight of burning tires and broken bricks. And as a friend said, it seems very dystopian today. So what's going on right now is the main protest is the sit-in that's happening at the military headquarters. Today, I was surprised when I went out that there were roadblocks and burning tires and the closed-off roads.
Yeah. Well, if it feels dystopian in Khartoum today, perhaps that shouldn't be a surprise, especially after the relatively violent evening on Monday for the crowds that are continuing, as you say, that sit-in outside military headquarters. This is what they faced Monday when soldiers broke through the barricades. So members of the Sudanese security forces shot and killed six people on Monday, including an army officer. Tigrid, that's a clear escalation and a departure from what you've seen in recent weeks, isn't it?
Yes, actually, it was a very alarming escalation that was actually very unexpected. These young men and young women that are guarding the roadblocks that lead into the sit-in, they've always known that they're the first line of fire. They've always expected to be targeted. That's why I am calling them the guardians of the revolution. They know that they're the front line. They know that they're the ones that are most exposed. They're the ones that will sound the alarm to protect the people inside the sit-in. But the fact is that we were very surprised at the escalation and the live ammunition. And the fact of the matter is that yesterday I woke up to a message that one of the demonstrators that was killed was actually the son of a colleague of mine. So the fact is that it was unexpected. It took people aback because the violence went from zero to 100. I mean, it was very alarming and disturbing.
How are Sudanese trying to understand that or explain it?
There is a very high degree of appreciation of the sacrifice of these very young men that we've seen killed in the attack the day before yesterday. They're 16, they're 20 years old. We don't really have time to grieve, and we need to make sure that everything is documented, that they're honored, that they're commemorated. So right now what we're seeing on social media is pictures of these young men, celebration of their lives. People are saying you have to come to the funeral service, people exchanging locations and information regarding how we can honor these martyrs. And in the end, the demand for justice for the people that committed these acts is a top priority for all the demonstrators.
As almost a contrast to that, we hear news that former President al-Bashir is going to be held legally responsible for the deaths of protesters during the demonstrations. And Sudan's military leaders have announced an agreement with the opposition for a three-year transition period to a civilian administration. Are those hopeful signs for you? And what do these actions mean for Sudanese?
I want to quote another friend that was saying all of this would have been acceptable the day before the attacks. But the fact is that the military is still resorting to violence. That means that we're still in a very dangerous place. Because the fact of the matter is, right now, as we speak, I was just watching a live video of soldiers still physically attacking people that were passing by, guarding the roadblocks or filming them.
How hopeful are you right now that what you and many others started in the streets will result in democracy?
We've been under a dictatorship for 30 years. So there's a lot of political immaturity. People are just, you know, like sending out feelers for the democratic process itself. I mean, to us, it's been a lot of theory and not a lot of applied science when it comes to democracy. It seems that there's a lack of good faith, we can say, in the discussions and the talks if, in the end, the army is still going to pull out a weapons card.
Tigrid, what worries you the most right now, either for the future of Sudan or for you personally?
The worry is that the revolution will be hijacked. That's still a very clear and present danger. And the fact is that the people in the streets with their bodies and our fallen youth, they're guarding the revolution with everything they have. So these efforts to dismantle the sit-in or the roadblocks, they're very scary because this is where the power of the democratic leaders, you know, the people pushing for change, this is their power, the demonstrations, the sit-ins, the roadblocks, this is where we hold power.
Tagreed Abdeen, an architect and mother of three, speaking with us from her home of Khartoum. Thank you very much and stay safe.
Thank you. Thank you, Marco.